do well? Didn't our children do well? And the mums, that dads, yeah, well, hello, a bit more applause. Didn't they all do well? Fantastic. You don't know how long it took us guys to memorize that dance. That took 7 months in the making. Not quite. But yeah, today I want to jump up just to honor a couple of women that are in this house that I actually think are Proverbs women. They're a great example, some of the closest example I think of that. A Proverbs woman who really just love God and are industrious for the kingdom of God, love their children. So on a Mother's Day, it's good to hear from a mum, don't you think? Speaking to the hearts, and we've had just a lot of great testimonies today already. But this mum I know quite well. She's my wife. We're going to hear from two. We're going to hear from Mona. She's going to jump up straight away. And these girls carry a lot in this house, and I want to honor both of them for what they carry. They carry an immense amount, whether it's the care side or people side. But first of all, my wife, Mary Ann. Give her a hand as she comes and shares this morning.
How incredible is the love in this house? All those items prepared with such incredible love. And as I sat there and watched them, that verse in the Bible just kept coming to me. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we might be called the sons and daughters of God. And, you know, the love that I felt from you guys doing the items and all those hours preparing, and how funny were those boys? Seriously, I giggled for the rest of the morning so far. You boys need to do it more often, seriously. Who wants to hear it from the boys more often? Yeah. And I had people surprised that you could dance, guys. I knew you could dance all along. I knew this. So, in honor of Mother's Day today, our mums who are always full of wisdom, I thought you'd enjoy these things that our mothers have taught us. My mother taught me logic. If you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the shops with me. As well as, if everyone else was going to jump off the cliff, would you do it too? My mother taught me humour. Wear your leather shoes, or when that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. My mother taught me genetics. You're just like your father. My mother taught me anticipation. Just you wait until your father gets home. My mother taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when I get you home. My mother taught me about religion. You better pray that stain will come out of the carpet. My mother taught me about stamina. You sit there until that last piece of spinach is finished. My mother taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out of it. And the all-time favourite, every mum has said, one day you'll have kids of your own, and I hope they turn out just like you. Then you'll see what it's like, and I can't wait. But seriously, usually our mother's words are seasoned with grace. We hardly ever say things like that, but I've heard myself say things like that, and I'm sure you heard your mum say things like that too. So each Mother's Day, I like to share something personal, a little Mother's Day story from one of my kids. And this year it comes courtesy of Ava. She's our littlest of four. And I'll just show you one of the things she brought home for me. It's a tea bag and a teapot. And when I arrived at preschool last Wednesday to pick her up, she was very excited. Mummy, 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 come look. So she took me to her desk and there was a little TikTok biscuit. Who knows TikTok biscuits? With a marshmallow, and they'd made it into a little teapot. And she was so excited. And I was so excited because I thought I was going to get a Mother's Day gift from her. And she showed me proudly and I admired it suitably and said it was wonderful and how wonderful she is. Then she promptly took it and put it in a bag. And I thought, okay, we're getting it later. That's okay. So we got home and she took it out of her bag and I could see her agonizing over what to do with it. Anyway, I encouraged her. I said, Ava, is that for mummy? Is that a gift for mummy? She's like nodding yes and then no, yes, no. She seemed to be really indecisive. So I encouraged her some more. Ava, is that something that you made for mummy? Not sure. Don't really know what I should do with this. And then she came forward and leaned into me real close and said, "It's for sharing." So she took the little biscuit teapot thing and went and sat at her desk and promptly sat there and ate it. And then she bought me the tea bag and the little drawing. So what I want to take from that and what's true of life in general, not just for women, is that sometimes life doesn't go according to the script. I adore being a mum, but sometimes it's slightly chaotic. Sometimes it's slightly crazy. Plans well made can get foiled, and inevitably 10 things can happen at once that you just weren't expecting. This is true of life in general, not just for mums, but not just for women. We need a compass in the chaos to keep us and our loved ones heading in the right direction, heading toward our goals and our dreams and our God destiny, fulfilling all that God's called us to do on the earth. There is a saying that says, sometimes small unessentials cry like emergencies, drowning out the whisper of important consistencies. This pretty much encapsulates what I felt that God wanted me to say to you all today, that only He can be a compass in the chaos. Before I take this thought any further, I just wanted to pause for a moment. I know that Mother's Day is a celebration. We all have a mum, a biological mum, that is. Perhaps she's absent today, perhaps she's here and she's one of the richest blessings in your life. But because we are family and we're here for each other, and that's what our faith community is, I just wanted to acknowledge the whole continuum of motherhood. So to those who gave birth this year to their very first child, we celebrate you here today. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones day in, day out, constantly wearing the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experience loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility and miscarriage, fraught with pokes and prods and tears and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make it harder than it is. To those who are foster mums, mentors, and spiritual mums, we desperately need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, distance from your children, we sit with you. To those of you who've lost their mothers, we grieve with you. To those who experience abuse at the hands of your mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who live through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall tests of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who have aborted children, we remember them and you on this day and rejoice that one day we will see them in heaven. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering of your own, we know that as yet life has not turned out the way you long for, but we stand with you and we believe with you for your promise. To those who step parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who are single parents, we support you. We walk with you. We cheer you on. You are awesome. To those who envision lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream is to be fulfilled, we walk with you. And to those who have emptier nests in the coming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. To those who place children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprised, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint-hearted, and we have real warriors in our midst. Today we honour you, mums. Amen. So when things aren't as they should be, the Word of God encourages us to keep our faith. Don't despair. Don't stop there. Don't camp there because it all seems so hard. We're encouraged to do whatever we need to do to focus our faith, to pursue our God dreams. Galatians 6:9 exhorts us, "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up." Truth is, we all have an enemy, albeit he's defeated, but he'll throw anything and everything at you to stop you chasing your dreams, to give you ineffectual lives, to keep us chasing our tails. 1 Peter 5:8 says to be alert and sober because our enemy is a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Firstly, in charting any course, there are going to be distractions, and distractions specifically designed and targeted at our weaknesses. Oftentimes, this battle can be won in can only be won in the heavenlies, trying to win or overcome a situation physically or mentally simply will not happen. We need to learn to warfare and to fight back and not just accept things as they are. Come away from the chaos and seek the Lord, seek the glory of the Lord. 2 Timothy 3:4 says, we are warned against having a form of godliness yet denying its power, denying the power of God to change our lives, to help us, to overcome, to sanctify us and to become more like Jesus. Exodus 33, Moses was confronted with the enormity of the task to bring the children of Israel out into the promised land, having to deal with some of the giant armies that all the time represent enemies that you and I face today, entering our promised land. The Girgashites were those that turned back, and they were earthly and carnal. When things got tough, the temptation was to turn back. The Canaanites, merchants who humiliated, particularly financially, motivated by the accumulation of wealth. The Amorites, boastful, challenging from a position of pride. The Hittites, giants that brought fear and terror and discouragement. The Perizzites, people with no discipline who live carelessly. The Hivites, who live selfishly without concern for the welfare of the others. And Jebusites, exploited and polluted through immorality. Moses felt like he had insurmountable disabilities of his own. He even said things like, since I speak with faltering lips and I'm clumsy and I can't speak. But his cry was for God to come down in his glory. He told the Lord that unless he came in his glory and his power and anointed him, nothing would set him apart from the rest of the world, and nobody would believe him, nor would he have the power to overcome. Exodus 33 says, Moses said of the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send to help. You have said, I know you by name and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied to him, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us out from here. How will anyone ever know that you are pleased with us, that we are your people, unless you are with us? What else will distinguish us and your people from all of the other people on the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause my goodness to pass before you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. So today, when we face those difficult circumstances, those giants that are in our lives, they may or may not look like the giants that the children of Israel had to face, but they're keeping us from our promised land. They're keeping us from our God dream. Today we need the same weight and the same power and the same glory of God behind us and the same anointing and authority to overcome. 1 Corinthians 15:58 teaches us, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. So set your course. Be aware of the counterfeit. Often, right before the victory, the enemy will send a counterfeit into your life to tempt you. Because sometimes, who knows, the things of God tarry. They take a while to come. But in the end, the promise is true. So like Sarah with Abraham, who couldn't conceive, don't bring a Hagar or a false wife into the picture to have a baby. Because we know that was born of that was Ishmael. And adversity still continues today. Just wait for the promise. God teaches us that he is always faithful, that he was promised is faithful, and the child Isaac was coming. God is always going to be faithful to his promise to you. Truth is, adversity comes to us all, along with many corporate battles that Pastor and Andrew and I have fought this year so far. I know we're not too far through the year. We've had some battles that personally were the kind of battles that we would never, ever have won in the natural. We would never have won just trying to conceive ideas to get around them or be clever. And one of them in particular, I have an incredible testimony of breakthrough this week. Without going into the details, I took one of my children to the doctors with a problem that we thought was going to be there for a very long time, in fact, possibly life. And we went in to see the doctor, and then actually the child went in to see the doctor, then I came in to see the doctor, and the doctor said to me, it is inexplicably gone. This situation is atypical and we won't need to see you again. So I just wanted to encourage you, you know, everyone has a journey and everyone has a giant. To be honest, we had sent the word of God out. God says that his word won't return void. To be honest, we had spoken his word over it. We had prayed over the situation. We'd fought a good fight, but it just came back so early and so unexpected. And I literally cried all the way home, not tears of sadness, but tears of happiness because of the goodness of God and because of the faithfulness of God. So if you don't know how to pray and you don't know how to take authority in situations in your life, then come alongside people who do. On Monday night, we have a great prayer meeting here. All the intercessors gather together and we take all the prayer requests from the church. If you're not strong enough to pray yourself, we pray for you. Come and pray with us. Come and learn to pray. Come and learn to take authority in the heavenlies. God says that he set the solitary in family, so you're not alone. In this body of Christ, you are not alone. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. So how do we keep heading in the right direction? How do we stay the course? How do we accomplish all that God has for us in this life? How do we find that purpose and meaning? Number one, we've learnt how to fight in the heavenlies. God says, and so my word has gone forth and it will not return void. And then he says to rest. He says, stand still in Exodus 13 verse 14 and watch the deliverance of the Lord. So send forth his word and then rest in him. That's number one. Number two is not very long. Number two, keep showing up. Keep showing up each day before God in prayer, in focused quiet time with him. Keep showing up each day in the Word of God, reading your Bible. Keep showing up at church, at life group, at Bible study, at prayer, at women's group, men's ministry, business group. Serve the Lord in food care. Serve in youth. Serve in the women's center, in kids' church, in creative, in missions. Just keep showing up. Showing up is a physical action of faith and a spiritual action. The Bible tells us we're going to reap where we sow. If you sow to the kingdom and you sow to life, you're going to reap a good reward. Prioritize your time with God. Prioritize his house. Prioritize his people and his kingdom. Be found in the courts of the Lord. Psalm 84 verse 10 says, better is one day in your courts, O Lord, than a thousand anywhere else. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. We are a community of faith. There is strength in this community. There is resilience in this community. When you're weak and you're doing it tough, that's okay because others will be here and they'll be strong for you. When you're strong, you can be a support to others. This is the body of Christ in action. So often I talk to people who are depressed or suffering anxiety, and the biggest temptation for them is to withdraw and just hang back and not come to church and not be involved with people and just try and contain, I guess it is, what they're going through. But the biggest temptation is the wrong thing for you to do. Even counselors and therapists will tell you not to isolate yourself. But the Word of God says, he who isolates himself seeks his own desire and rages against all wise judgment. So just keep showing up. Everyone say, keep showing up. Amen. So if you've got a God dream and you've got a life full of dreams and you feel like at the moment it's just not going to script, get the Word of God. Know what the Word of God says about it, even if you have to do a word search to know what the Word of God says about your situation. And just stand before the Lord and ask him for his glory, ask him for his power, ask him for his deliverance, the authority to see you released from that. And then rest in the fact that he's got it, that his word's gone forth, and that you're going to see a reward. and keep showing up. In Jesus' name, amen.
Awesome. How good was that? Yeah, I'll give her another round of applause. Who thinks Marianne should preach more? Yeah, come on. She's going to love me for saying that. No, she really is. Hey, we're just coming to the end of our service, but, you know, I just want to say from my heart as a mum, I have not experienced anything more incredibly rewarding, and you know, it's such a joy. It's such a joy, and it's, you know, having children is an incredible blessing in itself. It's a huge blessing, and you know, we heard Marianne talk about that sometimes it can be difficult, it can be a struggle, and man, I could tell you some stories. For any mum in here who ever has lived with that sense of guilt, you know, just come and talk to me. I'll talk to you about some funny guilt stories. But you know what? The Word of God tells us that, you know, we're not to feel condemned. You know, we're not to come under condemnation. And so if you're feeling guilt in this place at any point, and I use that, I refer to that because I just know that as a mum, that's one of the biggest emotions that we're often dealing with. So there is no condemnation through Christ Jesus if you are a mum in this house, actually for everybody, but we're talking to the mums today. But you know, guys, I have had the amazing pleasure of being a mum and a grandmum. I know, you don't believe me, right? I know, I get it all the time. But yeah, I've got grandchildren. And, you know, one of the things that is really important for a mum is to be able to impart something into her children and to have something that she can leave them with that they'll always remember. And we heard some great things from Marianne, you know, about some of the things that she learnt from her mum. Yeah. And hey, they might be funny, but we remember them, right? We all know them. We've all heard them. That's because we remember them. And, but you know, above everything else, from my heart, and you know, as I said, it's a real joy and a pleasure and a blessing to be a mum. And there's nothing more special than a woman that cares for children. And I just want to speak to everyone in this house, whether you're you know, you have children that are natural born, that are adopted, or that are spiritual children in this house. A mother's heart comes from the heart of the Father. Amen. And, you know, at the end of the day, the Father's heart is where it gets translated in so many different relationships, and certainly as a mum. And in Isaiah 66, sorry, I just need to open my phone. It says that as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. And so that we really see the connection there between the heart of the Father and the nurturing heart, the loving heart, and that of a mum. Amen? And I love that. And I just know as a mum that without God, without the heart of God, there's no way in the world I could have ever imagined mothering children at any level. And so if you're here this morning, and you don't know God, you don't have a relationship with Him, whether you're a mum or not, I want to encourage you this morning that in any role in life, the Word of God gives us instruction, and the heart of God empowers us to love and empowers us to care and empowers us to nurture and to protect. And I don't know how anyone out there does it without God. I really don't. And, you know, and I've experienced not knowing God and I've experienced knowing God. And let me tell you, the difference is absolutely incredible. There is no comparison. And so from a mother's heart and to my children and to all my spiritual children, my desire is that each one would walk with God in relationship with Him, would stand in his house and worship him and commit their lives to him. There's nothing greater than a mum that a mum would desire for her child. And so I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. And just something that we do here each week, and it's very, very important, and that is for those that are in our service that don't have a relationship with God, we want to give you an opportunity to come and meet our incredible Father, our incredible Heavenly Father. His name is Jesus. And, you know, he's got a heart for you as well. And his heart is that you would come to know the hope and the life that he brings and the love that he brings. He wants you to know that you have a calling on your life, that you're here for a reason, that you're not here by chance, but there's a reason why you're here, and he has predestined and purposed you to be here. You know, we didn't just kind of fall out of the sky. We've been uniquely and wonderfully made, and we've been created by a beautiful, loving God. And so if you're here this morning and you don't know him and you'd like to take the opportunity to get to know him, I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning. And so just with every eye closed, with everyone in the house praying, Christians praying, if you don't know him here this morning, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If you don't know him here this morning and you like to get to know who this amazing God is, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand this morning. I'm not wanting to embarrass anyone, but you know, there's something about declaring in a corporate place your desire to meet Jesus and your desire to give your heart to him. So I'm just going to ask you this morning, just very quickly, no one's watching. Anyone that doesn't know him this morning, let me see your hand. Great, thank you. I've got one hand. Anyone else? I tell you, this is the best thing you could ever do in your life. The most incredible thing you could ever, the most amazing choice you could ever make in your entire existence right now. This is it. Anyone else? Okay. Also want to speak to another group of people. If you're in this house this morning and you know God, but you've been away from him and you're feeling like you want to, you know, just relight that flame and that passion in your relationship with God and get back, you know, right with him this morning, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Great. Thank you. A hand over there. Anyone else? Awesome. Okay, I'm just going to quickly pray. We're running just a little bit. I've just got a couple of more things to do. Is that all right? We're almost there. I'm just going to quickly pray. Thank you, Jesus. Actually, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Is that okay? You just pray after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you gave your life for me. I thank you that you want a relationship with me. And this morning, I just choose to give my heart to you. I ask you to come into my life, to have a relationship with me, so that I can become a Christian. I repent of all of my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Just for those that put their hand up, if it's okay, we've got some beautiful, lovely people who will come and chat with you at the end of the service. Is that cool? Awesome. Hey, we're going to do something really special right now. I'm going to ask everyone to sit, and I'm going to ask the mums to stay standing. All our mums in the house. Come on, mums, don't be shy. Mums. Awesome. Okay, we have got a very, very special gift for all of our mums this morning. So let's get excited as we welcome back our Bay City kids. Here they come. They're a little bit shy. Aww. Happy Mother's Day, mums. Over here. Come on, let's encourage these kids. They're doing a great job. How are we going? If you've got your gift, please sit down. If you've got your gift, please sit down. Anyone left standing? Over here, guys. And over here. Yeah. How are we going? We got one more over here. Yes, yes. All right, mission accomplished. Fantastic. I hope you enjoy your gifts, mums. Happy Mother's Day. Thanks for being with us at Bay City Church today. Enjoy your Mother's Day celebrations if you're having anything today. Please hang around. Don't be in a rush. We've got coffee and tea out the back. And God bless you all.